How many of y'all glad you're in the house of the Lord today? Huh? Wow. Man, oh man. That's good stuff. That's good. There's just been a presence of God all over this place. I think it's funny. Probably today a lot of us said, oh, I'm going to go to church. It's in July. Not everybody will be there. A lot of people on vacation. But I'm going to come in and punch my worship card. And then God shows up. And He says, I want you to know who I am, who you are, and what can happen. I want you to know who I am, who you are, and what can happen. That's what God is wanting us to know today. Now in July, we're talking about some experiences that we need to be having on a constant basis. We've talked about studying the Word of God. You got to study the Word of God. You got to know what God said to you. You got to know why God said it. You got to know what God's about. And when you know what God's about, then you're going to know more about what you can be about. Make sense? Second thing is this. Jamie and Keith last Sunday covered worship. We come into the house of the Lord to worship. It's good to worship. It's good to go ahead and let some things be freed in your life. You know what worship does? It conveys to God we love Him. And once in a while you need to let God know that you love Him. And it's okay to be excited in worship. It's okay to raise your hands in worship. It's okay to say hallelujah. And it's okay to fold your arms. Those are all moments of worship where we realize who God is in our lives. And today we're going to deal with this. The essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You ready? Big word. Relationship. Jesus Christ is a relationship. God relates to humans. I want to start very basic. How many of y'all are glad to know that God loves human beings? That ought to be a rejoicing. God is into humans. He loves humans. Now, how many of you all know this truth? Humans are messed up. All humans are messed up. How many of y'all found that to be true? I have people walking around all the time and they go, oh, I'm normal. Those are some really messed up people. I don't know what normal is. I know what the human experience is. And people talk about normal and abnormal. Let's talk about the human experience. And it has ups, it has downs, it has tricks, it has moments that seem to be stable, and then it has moments where all that stability can be jerked out from under you in seconds. How many of you all found that to be the human experience? It's risky to be a human. You know why? You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Huh? How many of y'all found that to be in your human experience? That's life. Is life tough? Yes. Is life enjoyable? Yes. Is life exciting? Yes. Is life full and abundant? Yes. And there's two things that are permanent in our living. You ready? This is the essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we've gathered together today because we're followers of Jesus Christ. We ate at the Lord's table today because we are followers of who? Jesus Christ. And it's about really falling in love with Jesus, because here's what I want you to know. This is the good news. God is already madly in love with you. Whoa! He loves you. Now check this out. He loves you even if you don't feel like He loves you. Now I want you to really get this. Love is more than a feeling. And a lot of us, in our moment of culture, we gauge everything we do by how we feel. And I just want to give you a warning. That is the path of destruction. How I feel does not change God's mind. Thank God. Thank God. And you know what? I figured out why none of us can be God. Because we don't feel something consistently enough. Some mornings I wake up and I feel really good about things. Other mornings I wake up and say, there's no way I could be God, because one morning I would just wake up and blow everything up. I'd be having a bad day. But God stays in love with humanity. Somebody say, I get it. Come on, I get it. So I want you to know two rhythms today. Two rhythms. First one is this. I want us to confess this, because these are two truths, okay? Jesus loves me. First truth. Somebody, ready? On three. One, two, three. All right, now I want us to say it again just to make sure we get it. You ready? One, two, three. Now I want you to look at your neighbor. Whoever they are, even if you don't know them, I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to look at the person near you. Ready? Go like this. I love you. All right, try that. Try it. Chase, I love you. Try that. Come on, y'all, try it. You know, some of y'all aren't practicing. I'm going to call you out. I love you. Come on, try it. Come on, keep practicing. If it's a good-looking person you wanted to meet anyway, hey, you got advantage today. You say, praise the Lord. Okay, you ready? All right, let's try it again. You ready? Because I want you to get this rhythm today. Because here's what I want you to know. We join together to become a community of Christ because of the love of God. Love is the glue that puts us together. Now, I'm going to prove my point. If prayer would keep us together, then the Jews had that covered before Jesus came. If baptism kept us together, then they had that before Jesus came. If sacrifice would keep us together, well, they had that before Jesus came. What did Jesus bring that wasn't here? Love from heaven brought to earth. Love from heaven brought to earth. Let me break it down. The love that transpires in heaven on a daily basis, now through Jesus Christ, is brought to the reality of our human experience. Wow! Now be careful, because you're sitting next to a little bit of heaven. Check that out. Don't let it get on you. You're sitting next to what? Now think about this a minute. When Jesus cruised into town, who cruised in with him? His daddy. That's exactly right. I like it when y'all just tell it like it is. You know what I mean? Instead of, the Father who art in heaven. Nah, my daddy came with me. And I don't know about you, but now I feel better when my daddy comes with me. Huh? Well, Jesus came in with heaven. So think about it. When he's cruising through town, he's what? In heaven. Now let me show you. Jesus loves me. Now what? I love you. Y'all do that one more time. We got to get this rhythm. I'm going somewhere with this today. I know y'all think I'm just going crazy, but I'm going somewhere with this today. Jesus loves me. Look at somebody you don't know and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Come on. I love you. I love you. I love you. I want you to do it one more time. I love you. Beautiful couple right here. Beautiful couple. I love you. Okay. I love you. I love you. Let's just have a mad love fest for a second. Marcia, I love you. I love you. Scott, I love you. Not because you lead worship, but because you're a human being. Huh? Beth, I love you. Not because you went back to college, but because you're Beth. Well, there's a big difference, isn't there? God loves us. Period. Now, you're not going to find that anywhere else. You ain't going to get that at the bar. They love you because you look a certain way or you act a certain way. They love you in the world because you're able to do this or do that or you have this title. Jesus Christ says, I love you. Period. It's a mind-boggling thing. Now we're going to open up the mystery. We're a people of love. And in the love of God is the power of relationship. In the love of God is the power of relationship. So the first thing I gotta do if I want to relate, how many of y'all want to have some like really great relationships while you're here on earth? How many of y'all would enjoy that? Okay, well we gotta, I'd say that Jesus is like the ultimate relationship machine. What do you think? Jesus is it. He knows how to do relationships. So let's look at Jesus. John chapter 13. Jesus as relationship, because that's what he is. And today we're going to cover the most important thing he said to us as his followers. This is what we're supposed to be about. You guys, as you're young, you're not supposed to grow into this. You're supposed to be about this. You are to be the love of God. All right? So we got to look at the first thing. All right? How many of you are always with Jesus? I hear people all the time, they say, well, I'm with Jesus. Like they got this little Jesus and they kind of bring him around with them and they take him into their lives and they are with Jesus and they take Jesus to work and they take Jesus to church and they take, like Jesus is a puppy. See, I think maybe the problem is we need to be in Jesus and not with Jesus. There's a difference. There's a difference when I am with my wife and when I'm into my wife. Make sense? Like, for instance, at our house, we have to go to dance recitals. Now, notice how I said that. Now, watch this. I go with my wife to the dance recital. I go out of obligation to my daughter and to her. See, I'm not jazz there. I don't wake up that morning and go, this is the day we get to go to recital. See, I'm not jazzed about that. I don't wake up and say, Blake, we're going to see some of whatever those twirly things are, the best ones in the city today. Okay, I'm not jazzed up. But now, like, if she goes with me to the Titans games, then I'm into her presence, you see? And so I just want you to get that different feel. Watch. You and I are called in Christ to be in Him, in love with Jesus. See, Jesus doesn't want to just be with us. He wants to be in love. It's a big difference. How many of y'all have those moments in marriage where you kind of, you're married, you're committed, you've said vows? In fact, I see some people celebrating that they've endured each other for 50 years. This is not what God had in mind. He wants you to embrace the love that you have with one another. To be in love. And by the way, contrary to popular belief, you cannot fall out of love. Mm-mm. I hear it all the time. Pastor, we're going to have to get a divorce. We're just falling out of love. I said, you ain't falling out of love. That is theologically incorrect. Love perseveres. Lust doesn't last. So people just tell me the true thing. We've fallen out of lust. I'll buy that. They no longer make me what? Feel good, so I'm leaving them. That sounds like a country song, doesn't it? They don't make me feel good no more, so I'm out the door. Oh, yeah. I mean, we do that stuff. That's not the relationship that God has with us. Guess what? I want you to get to this reality. God loves you no matter how you feel. God loves you no matter how you think. God loves you no matter where you are. God is love, and nobody can change His motion. That's where the power comes. So when I realize that Jesus loves me, now my response is I'm going to love what He made. That's you. That's me. That's humanity. And we as Christians got to get incredibly involved in loving people. And so we're going to go over this. John chapter 13. It's the most amazing moment. The 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus does something that is absolutely ridiculous to His followers. And by the way, I just want to note something. Oh, it's great to have you today because you'll note this. You know, you've been around Scripture all your life since you were a baby, your daddy preaching the Gospel. And this amazes me. Jesus calls 12 guys, or 11 guys, one crook. Now, Judas was a crook. But Jesus didn't call one religious person to be on His staff. I've always wondered why. I figured He had to get something done. And they'd be tabling the motion for the next 40 years. And they only had 3 years to get to the cross. But He didn't have a professional rabbi. He didn't have a professional religious person. And I think there's a reason for that, because I found this. Most religious people want to be with Jesus. They want to tell Jesus what to do and how to do it and who He ought to like and who He ought to not like and what He ought to eat and drink. And they just got all these rules. And Jesus got like 12 ordinary human beings that had like ordinary human being lives that woke up in the morning and had sleep in their eyes. And they had to get the crusties out. They were fishermen, they were philosophers, they were educated, they were intellectual, they were common sense people, they were everyday kind of people. And He said, you come follow Me, and I'm going to open heaven up for you. Right before Jesus opens up heaven, He has a last meal. It's amazing. And Jesus does something ridiculous. He takes off His outer garment, puts on a girt cloak. He girds Himself at His waist, picks up a towel basin of water, and washes the disciples' feet. What? You're the King of Kings, the Son of God, God Himself. Love incarnate. And you are washing my feet. See, this is what Jesus knew. Father in heaven loves me. I will love you. Then Peter stands up and says, oh, I'm unworthy for you to wash my feet. And Jesus says, hey, Pete, if I don't wash your feet, man, you're not in. You know, the rest of you is going on, but I need to wash your feet. And he said, well, then if that's the case, not only my feet, but my whole body. And Jesus had to look and said, Peter, your feet will do. Why? Isn't that the way we are? Watch, here's what I'm going to tell you. And this is what's going to blow you away. You will not control God's love. You can't put it in a workbook. You can't put it in a code. A creed won't hold it. A government can't confine it. The love of God will escape any system we create. I'll show you in just a second. But I got to thinking about this dirty feet thing. It's summertime. I wear flip-flops in the summertime. How many of y'all wear flip-flops? You know, some form of flop. How many of y'all have ever gotten dirty feet? Have y'all ever wondered, why do we go to church on Sunday morning? Any of y'all ever had that thought? Okay, good. We have one guy other than me. Anybody else ever had that thought? Why do I go to church? And I used to be kind of even theological about it. My sins are saved, man. I'm good to go. I'm locked into heaven. Why do I need to go to church? I know now. Dirty feet. I don't know about you, but on Sundays, I kind of come in here with some dirty feet. Anybody else come in here with some dirty feet? Now, my sins have been cleansed. I absolutely believe that. I know my destiny's heaven, but Monday through Saturday, I have stepped in some places I should not have stepped. Anybody else got that problem? I get some dirty feet. You know what happens when I start worshiping God? He washes those feet. And when I start learning His Word, He washes those feet. When I start hearing Him in prayer, He washes those feet. I got to thinking about the Scripture. You know what it said? Oh, how beautiful are the feet that bring the what? Message of God. You know what? I want to pray for our church we all get good-looking feet. And I don't know if y'all have ever looked at your dogs, but there's just no way to make them pretty but let Jesus touch them. Amen? I mean, I know you ladies paint them up, but you know what's under there. And toes are just the wildest looking part of us, you know? I mean, especially the little toe. Mine's crooked, busted up, and sits in there like that. And sometimes I talk to it. I go, I'd like to cut you off, see if you catch a fish. But you know what? I can't run without that little nasty little toe tucked up in there. But God washes my feet. Watch this. Why? So I can follow His way. Now note what He does. John 13, verse 34. We're going to start verse 31. He tells His disciples, I'm leaving. And where you go and where I'm going, you can't come at the moment. He tells His disciples that someone's going to betray Him. I want you to see the love that God has. God's love goes so deep that God can eat with the very person that's going to betray Him and maintain His life's course. Now I've got to ask you a very serious question. How many of you all have been betrayed by another human being? Who has not? For if you have not, you're living in a plastic bubble. I just want you to see we all have. Please, you don't need, 14 antidepressants because you've been depraved. Everybody's been betrayed by somebody. That's just something we humans do. We don't tend to always hold up, do we? That's why I say you don't need to be with Jesus. You need to be in Jesus. Because when we're in Jesus, He's going to bring us through even those moments we get betrayed. It's a love that says, I will make it no matter what. Pretty powerful, isn't it? How many of you have come in here today going, I wonder if I drank too many beers for God to love me? I don't know what the number is. God loves you. Here's what I want you to hear. Did you realize that God's greater than a beer can? In fact, I've never heard Jesus bring that up. Only Baptists and Church of Christ and bootleggers bring that subject up. But I've never heard Jesus bring it up. I've never heard Jesus kick somebody out because of what they ate or drank. But I've seen Jesus bring people in so they'll eat and drink something a lot better. I've never seen Jesus discard humanity. But be warned, I've seen a lot of religious people do it. Because here's what I found. God will love you and people will betray you. What have you found? But Jesus has this incredible love where He can eat with those who have betrayed Him. And Jesus tells Judas, she says, you go do what you must do. You go do it. Man, that's I believe that Jesus even loved Judas. He loved Judas. He said, well, then what was the problem? Judas didn't love him. See, I believe Jesus loves you today. I believe He loves every single human being that's ever taken a breath. This is how crazy I am. I believe everybody can get saved. You say, well, how come a lot of people aren't saved? They choose not to be loved by Jesus. I think God's love's on for everybody. If He can love us, He loves us all. Now, you say, well, how come sometimes people, they embrace God's love? How many of y'all are ready to embrace God's love? Be in Jesus, embracing God's what? Love! And this is cool. Look what He does. He says, go do what you got to do in verse 31. And when He was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. Is this not really cool? Jesus knew how much God loved him. He knew that the Father in heaven's love was greater than the reality here on earth. I want to run that by you once again. God's love is greater than our present reality. Now let me tell you why, Joe. You ready, Joe? Your reality's fixing to change, is it not? What will your reality be here in 3 or 4 weeks? What kind of school? College. Is college different than high school? Was high school different than junior high? Good, Joe, you're ready for college. Was kindergarten different than senior year in high school? Absolutely. But guess what? God's greater than that present reality. Some of you are newly married. Let me give you some good news. God's greater than that present reality. Boy, there's a shocker, isn't it? 2 months after the honeymoon, what happened to them? Where did the ticka-ticka-ticka-ticka go? Why did, oh, you're so wonderful, turn into, how could you? Relationship changed. God is greater than the present what? Reality. And His love moves us through, now watch this, pay attention, through our present reality, whatever that may be, God's moving us toward our ultimate destiny, which is what? Heaven. Isn't that neat? That's why, Tyrone, we can sing. He's my El Shaddai. He's enough. He's enough. The love of God is what? Enough for us to live well. Maybe we try too hard. How many of y'all have tried so hard to be loved you just kind of looked a little weird? Well, yeah. How many of y'all have ever, like, you know, you're going out on that date and you try so hard to look good that you cut yourself shaving? Or you remember prom when you just everything had to be right and there would always be one gigantic pimple that would show up right between your eyes. And it only occurred during a special occasion. I called them special occasion pimples. You know, my wedding day, I had a knot growing out of the side of my head. I thought, she must be really special. You see, maybe we try too hard, and maybe what God's really telling us is let me love you. And I want to love you. I don't want to love what you think you are. I don't want to love what you think you can be. I just want to love you where you are. That's a different kind of love. Because that love moves us beyond our present reality. You see, Jesus knew that He was going to be glorified and that His Father would be glorified in Him. No matter what the present reality. Jesus' present reality in this moment is death. But He has a hunch that love goes beyond death. How many of y'all glad to know that love goes beyond death? You better be glad. They say we're going to lose loved ones. They're right. We're going to lose loved ones. But when we do lose loved ones, isn't it nice to know that they're still being loved in heaven? And that the love they met here on earth goes all the way into heaven. His name is Jesus. You ready? Check it out. He says these words to us. Words that direct our path. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I'm going, you cannot come. How many of you realize there was a moment we couldn't go to heaven? Why? There's no death and resurrection. You can't go to where I'm going. But I'm going so you can come. How many of y'all glad to have a Jesus that went to the cross so that we could come on later into where He is? You gotta grasp that. That's the love of God. I'm going. I'm going so you can come later. I love you that much. And then He says, this is who you need to be. Now this is not what you need to do. This is who you need to be. This is a being kind of deal. Following Jesus isn't about doing a bunch of religious activities. Somebody say, I get that.
I get that.
Please get that. Because I know some of y'all are going to go, well, I go to church all the time and I don't know why I'm not blessed. It's probably your problem because you're going to church to get blessed. You ought to go to church to meet God. See, when you're always wanting something, please note this, it's very powerful. When you're always wanting something, you will never love. When you're always wanting something, you will never love. That's why a lot of you never have relationships, because you always want something. Most of the time, it's not what you need. You always want something. Men, if you're going to have a woman to be happy, that is a nightmare of a mistake. Women, if you're going to find the man to complete you and give you satisfaction and help you excel in your life, he doesn't exist. You're going to have to find Christ. Christ. You see, because that's the only place you love and don't want anything. What's Jesus want? What's Jesus want from you? That's it. Do have any time? Well, do you need to preach for Jesus? I don't preach for Jesus. I preach because of Jesus. Jesus doesn't need me to preach for Him. I mean, the dude walks on water. He's resurrected. He died and came back to life. He does not need my activity. He wants my love. He wants your love. Apparently this is extremely important to God. Because look what He says. A new command I give you. How many of y'all ready for a new command? This is a command, not a suggestion. Command. Activate this is what He's saying. How many of y'all remember the golden rule? Anybody remember the golden rule? What was the golden rule? Oh boy, a lot of y'all memorize it. Do unto others as you would want others to do unto you. That's the golden rule. How many of y'all remember back in the 80s? Anybody back in the 80s? Some of y'all have seen reruns of the 80s. But how many of y'all remember being live in the 80s? How many of y'all remember when the Visa Gold Card came out? Oh yeah. How many of y'all flipped a couple gold cards for lunches? You said, what a fool am I? I'm going to pay interest on this lunch. Had a Visa Gold Card, man. I remember when I got me a Visa Gold Card. I thought I had arrived financially. It was a very bad mistake for me to have one. Because I would pull it out and go, "These are gold." Chuck, and guess what I was saying? I am stupid. But then, Chuck, you remember this being the financial kind of guy that you are. The gold card was weak. And we came out with what? Platinum. Which meant, now I'm a really big fool. Because instead of having access to $1,000, I got access to about $20,000 of stupidity. But I remember the platinum came out and people, ooh. Well, guess what? The golden rule says, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. John 13:34 is the platinum rule. Trumps the gold rule. Because the golden rule puts who at the center? Guess what? If you want to find love, step out of the center. Step out of the center. Watch this. Can I give some of you all some great news? You're not God and He does not need you to run the universe. Some of you need to go, well, thank goodness, I've really been in operation for a long time. And these are the same people that take Jesus with them everywhere, you know? Watch out, I'll sick Jesus on you. Love people. By the way, Jesus is not scared of people. And He's not scared of what they do. Jesus loves people. All of them. And here's what He said do. He said, do this. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Now what? So you must love one another. Wow. How many are ready to go do that? Be that. You know what I found? You got to be in Jesus to do that. It just comes out. And I want you to know Jesus loves all kinds of people. How many are glad to know you worship the Jesus that loved the woman at the well? Loved the woman that was caught in adultery. Loved Esther who was up with the highfalutin folks in government. Jesus loved the rich man. He loved the thief on the cross. Jesus loved those who were in power and He loved those who thought they had no power. He loved them all. Now here's where I find a huge difference in God's love and our love. We tend to love the ones we prefer. What do you think? I wish I could tell you as your pastor, man, I'm over my prejudice. I'm not over my prejudice. I am prejudiced against stupid people. I get mad at people that just make stupid decisions all the time. And the reason I get mad at stupid people the most is because I find myself being one of them. And we all got that problem. You know what? I get irritated at people that do the same wrong thing over and over and over again. How many of y'all get mad at those kind of folks? You know why I get mad at them? Because I do that too. How many of y'all have done the same stupid wrong thing over and over again? Knew you were doing it. How many of you knew what it was going to do before you even did it? But something in your brain cell goes, this time it's going to work out different. What's this? You go, it'd be like saying, okay, I'm going to stick my finger in a light socket. What happens when you stick your finger in a light socket? Please, I hope you all can communicate this. You do know. Huh? You get zapped, you get shocked. Yes, please. If you did not know that, do not put your finger in light sockets. Because they'll do what? What if you pray and stick your finger in a light socket? Good, thank you. What if you go to a Holy Ghost meeting and get slain in the Spirit and stick your finger in a light socket? You'll be slain again. And God ought to take your life. He ought to not let somebody that stupid live. See, God's got a real connection to love. What's to move us on? How many of y'all make decisions like that? You know exactly what's going to happen. You go make that decision. You've made that decision for 20 years. It's never worked out in your life. You're going to try it for 20 years and one more day, and it's still the same result. Let me give you the bottom line. God loves you. Deeply. Mercifully. Absolutely. And let me tell you something about the love of God. It'll never stop. You know why? You can put it on the cross. And guess what the love of God will do? It'll keep on loving. It'll take a thief to heaven with it. That's what the love of God will do. And in the love of God, you can bury it in the ground. And the love of God will descend all the way into the pits of hell. And the love of God will not be held captivity by hell. Because on the third day, the love of God will wiggle its toes and stand to attention and release new life to all of human history. That's how far the love of God goes. And so I'm going to give you three things I think the love of God ought to be in us. We ought to love people like Jesus Christ loved us. First of all, these are simple things. Ready? Number one, be nice. Christians are not nice people. Religious people can be really mean. And what it is, they're scared to engage in the big world. I mean, where the competition's really competition. See, I notice the church likes to play it among itself. Let's go play against the devil. There's the enemy. My church down the road ain't the enemy, that's my brother. That's my brother. You say, well, that's a Pentecostal church. Well, good, that's my jumping brother. Still my brother, still my sister, still my family. Don't y'all have crazy people in your family? Elizabeth got a lot. No, I'm just kidding. We all got them. We all have different expressions. They are my family. My family. I love them. That love is permanent. No matter what. That's God's love. He says, I want you to love people as I have loved you. I want you to engage as I have engaged. And by this, all people will know you're my disciples. Be nice. Be nice. And here's the reason I bring this up. Elizabeth and I have been hanging out this summer. We've had a great time this summer because we've got to hang out with people that don't go to church. I love hanging out with people that don't know anything about the church. And we just like have fun with them, and then we're just like, they think we're like real human beings until they ask the question. You know, when you don't know people, when you get to know people, eventually what question is going to come up? What do you do? Now that is an interesting question. What do I do? You know, so Elizabeth's talking to this guy, and we're just having a big time, and all of a sudden he asks questions. He goes, well, what do you all do? She goes, I'm in pharmaceutical sales, and my husband's a pastor. He goes, a what? She said, well, he's a pastor. He goes to church and tells people about Jesus. He goes, there is no way you all can be Christians. So this has gotten me curious. I said, why not? Because you're too nice. I've heard that 6 times in 4 weeks. Hillview, be nice. Just be nice. This is nice. Hello, my name's Steve. What's yours?
Amy.
Amy, good to meet you. How hard is that? This is the way the world communicates. Let me help some of you. The world does not communicate like this. Hello, my name is Pastor Steve Ayers. Blessed be the name who comes in the name of the Lord. Gosh, that's religious people. I had somebody tell me the other day, I said, how are you doing? They go, I'm blessed beyond the curse. I said, can you not just say fine? You know, you don't have to go through all that religious hoorah with me. That hoorah doesn't impress me. Does it impress y'all? Listen, I'm a believer and it makes me sick. Imagine what it does to non-believers. Here's why it makes me sick. Here's the way Jesus did it. Hi. Here's how Jesus got holy. You got any water? So he told a woman at the well. He didn't go, I am the fountain and the spout of grace unto your situation. Jesus didn't do this. Jesus never did that. He just went like, you got any water? Like, he called his disciples like this. Hey, follow me. It was really amazing. He was very clear what he said. It wasn't this deep mist, and he didn't speak in general terms either. He didn't go, I vow now comest with the mist of heaven in a rainbow of colors to take you to where you've never been. This is Puff the Magic Dragon. Jesus says, come follow me and I'll show you the kingdom. And guess what else? I mean, I'm giving you some reality here. See, Jesus is really clear. Right before he leaves, he says, you love people as I have loved you. Jesus was nice. Jesus always encouraged people toward heaven. Don't you think we ought to do that? I mean, we're hanging out in life. People ought to go, what's that smell? It's heaven. Some of it's in me. And sometimes it comes out. Encourage people toward heaven. Right. And the third thing is this. Welcome people. Jesus welcomed everybody. He welcomed prostitutes and the princes. He welcomed paupers and the proud rich. He welcomed paralyzed men coming down from the roof. And he welcomed those who could run the race. He welcomed humans, no matter where they walked in life. He welcomed them into heaven. And his greatest welcoming call is when he stretched out his arms on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If you're going to love like Jesus loved, you better get that slogan. You better get that truth. You better get that spirit inside your conscience, because you're going to have to say it a lot. Father, forgive them, for they know not what, they do. But love them as you have loved me. Wow. Amen? How many of y'all found something true today? What do you think? Think this will work? Let me ask you all a question. What if we started loving people like Jesus loved us? What would happen to Bowling Green? Get weird looking, wouldn't it? I would slow down on Scottsville Road. And I would be nicer to people from Allen County going 25 miles an hour. I would say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Move them to 45 miles an hour through your love. See what I'm saying? It's the reality of life. How many of y'all would be nicer at McDonald's? How many of y'all line at Walmart when they only have one register open and 100 opportunities to go through the line? Okay, God, I'm gonna rejoice. I encourage you, folks. Let's learn to love. Amen. It's gonna take a lifetime, but every day we ought to get a little bit better at loving. Get with the people that are around you and ask them to keep you accountable. How did I love you today? How did I express my love to you today? Am I getting better at it? So we're supposed to love folks. It's amazing to me. It says that when we love people, people will know who we follow. And when they know who we follow, they'll want to follow Him. Maybe we're at the lowest point in evangelism in America today, because we love little and talk a lot. We've had more conferences, more hoorah meetings, more books written, more tapes dispersed than any other point in human history, and have least going on of those coming to Christ than any point in time in human history in America.
And more divorce
and all kinds of things. Wonder why? Jesus said, go love them as I have loved you. Maybe today a lot of you need to come up here and trade in your golden rule for the platinum. Say, Lord, here's my card. I only treat people like I want to be treated. And now, Jesus, I want to start treating people like you've treated me. Platinum. Maybe today, for the first time, several of you are going to come and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I'm broken, I'm busted, I'm not what I'm supposed to be. And I've not done what I'm supposed to do. It takes a lot of guts to confess your sins. And then to repent. And to say, Lord, I'm done. I want your love in my life. I know you love me, and now I want to choose to embrace how much you love me. So Jesus, I'm going to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I'm going to ask you to come into my life. And I'm going to live in your love. How many of y'all glad to know God wants to do that today? Somebody going to get saved today. It's going to be really neat. Some of y'all need to just come and say, you know what, God? I say that I believe in you, but I live you out very little. I just want to check up and have a little conversation of where we are. It's okay. Make sense? Where are we with God? Here's what you've heard today. He knows where you are. He knows where you are. How many of y'all glad to know God knows where you are? He even knows where you are in the balcony. On the very back row of the balcony. Don't think he's not up there. Your preacher was called from up there, hiding out at the First Baptist Church, very back row of the back balcony, hid in the back corner. When the Holy Spirit showed up and said, hey, I want you to preach. I said, hey, go downstairs. God wants to love you. Let Him love you. Amen? Let Him love you. Well, let's stand. Let's have an altar call. And I want everybody just chill a little bit today. Okay? We're not in a hurry to go anywhere today. This is the Lord's day. Let Him have it. Somebody's going to meet Jesus today. Somebody's going to come alive today. Somebody's going to get healed today. Some of y'all need to be baptized. You've already received Christ. You need to come for baptism. Let's just give it a moment where we say, God, this is your moment. Remember, can I remind you? Jesus loves you, so what should you do? Love one another. So for those of you that are believers, here's what I'm going to ask you to do at this altar. Lord, who is it that needs to meet you today? I pray that they will feel your Spirit. Urge them. See, even at invitation, how much do we love? Watch. Shake it off. Because the devil's already here at invitation time. When we give altar call, here goes the devil. He starts doing stuff like this. Big Mac. I know how he plays a game. He goes like this. Pizza Hut. And then he gets this one. Shoney's breakfast bar. He knows how to distract their minds. You know what? I want you to hear this one. Love of God through Jesus Christ, crucified, risen again, in love with you. In love with you. In love with you. Did I tell you today that Jesus is in love with you? Will you let Him love you? Well, pray with me. Lord, today there's some beautiful human beings that have showed up here. From all walks of life, you already know who they are. You know who you want to be saved today. You desire everybody would know you today. Lord, I just ask whoever it is that today they will come to realize your love. So listen, thank everybody for being still where we can hear God. Today, do you need to tell Jesus, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I broke all the Ten Commandments, and even if you had a couple more, I'd break them too. I'm already realizing that. And I want to turn away from that today. I want to be done with that kind of life. And so, Jesus, I'm done, and I'm sorry. Forgive me and come into my life. What do you think God's going to do? He's going to come into your life. See, Pastor Steve, is it that easy? No, He died so you could do that. That's not easy. Here's where you need to hear. You're not going to fix it. You know I'm telling you the truth, my friend. You know I'm telling you the truth. You've tried to quit time and time and time again. Did you quit? No. There's a reason. You can't. It's called sin. You can be forgiven so you can have power over it. Jesus can quit it. Isn't that cool? He can get it out of there, bro. So right now, why don't you tell Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Heal me. I believe you died for me. I believe you've risen again. I believe new things are going to happen. I'm just coming, Lord. Here's a simple prayer. Jesus, help. He'll answer that. Try it. Jesus, I'm so messed up, I don't even know how to pray. He'll say, I know how to pray. Come on. Another day you need to say, Lord, I need to be healed. How many of y'all, it's hard to love because you've been wounded by the religious? I struggle with that so much in my life. I just got to love church people. It's always been easy for me to love sinners because they do what I do. It's the other sinners I have a hard time loving, the ones that don't do the sins I do. Do you realize that exclusion is a sin? It's a sin. Nobody's left out. So in the name of Jesus, if you've received Him today, won't you come forward? For those of you that need to be baptized, won't you come forward? For those of you that just need to be healed today, won't you come forward? So guess what? Let Him love you today. This altar's open. Let Him love you today. Listen to God and see what He's got to say. And we'll leave here in just a moment. But listen to God and really hear what He's got to say to you. Because He loves you deeply. In the name of Jesus, grace and mercy is at this altar. Come and celebrate in it. Church, whether you're following or whether you're thinking about it, you come now and let's talk. Let's listen to God. Let's be saved. Let's be made new. Let God work some miracles today. In the name of Jesus, come.